Welcome to S&C's podcast series, S&C Critical Insights. I'm Craig Jones, a partner in S&C's Project Development and Finance Group. Today, we're going to talk about sustainable finance. This is an area of particular interest for us. We've recently been working with corporate clients accessing both the public and private debt markets through green bond issuances and sustainability-linked loans. With me today are my colleague Sam Saunders, an associate in our London finance practice, and Ziad Wright, one of our trainee solicitors. They will be addressing the following points: what we mean by sustainable finance, the evolution of sustainable finance, advantages and risks for companies considering sustainable finance, some recent market developments, and considerations for market participants. Sam, let's start with what we mean by sustainable finance.
Sure, Craig, thanks. Sustainable finance could mean a lot of things. Generally, what we're talking about, we're referring to practices and instruments that are prevalent in financial services industry aimed at promoting desirable environmental and social outcomes. And those include things like green bonds, green loans, social bonds, sustainable bonds, sustainability-linked loans, lots of different flavors of debt, as well as on the equity side, there are green ETFs and there are benefit corporations, and the list goes on. It's a very diverse and growing market with a lot of different products and practices. And one of the things that makes it really exciting is that it's a global practice. Right now we have in our office a Latin American client who is looking to do a green loan in the Japanese market from Japanese investors. So it just kind of gives you an idea of how global this market is and the way that the standards have set up. The other thing that's very interesting about the market is that it really impacts all of the participants, from investors themselves and all of their professional advisors, including lawyers, and as well as banks, insurers, regulators, sovereign entities, and obviously the investment funds and fund managers. So it's a very exciting field because there's a lot going on globally and there's a lot of actors in it. And it's really been catalyzed by the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement and increased investor interest and engagement on so-called ESG or environmental and social governance outcomes and goals. And in some respects has filled a void in actual hard legal regulation on these matters and has instead come through on voluntary sustainable finance.
Thanks, Sam. So yeah, talk us through how the market has evolved.
Sure, Craig. So I think probably the most distinguishing characteristic about how the sustainable finance market has developed to date has been just the pace of the growth. You know, in 2018 alone, there were over $167 billion worth of green bonds issued. And on the lending side, there were over $55 billion worth of announced green loans. And in the case of the green loans, this was a 22% increase on 2017. Probably the most notable growth levels have been on the sustainability-linked lending side. You know, just to give one example, over $43 billion worth of announced sustainability-linked loans in 2018. And this was a 300% increase from 2017 levels. I think, as Sam suggested, another unique way in which this market has developed has been the fact that it's really developed in a context of voluntary process guidelines, which have been published by various different industry associations. And this has really shaped the development of the market rather than a mandatory framework by regulators. A few examples of these kind of voluntary process guidelines. Many of you will be familiar with the green bond principles, which have really become the baseline market standard for green bond issuers. And although these standards are voluntary, over 90% of green bond issuers are green bond principle compliant. I think another important way that this market has developed recently, we've seen very wide breadth of different types of issuers, which range from sort of corporate issuers, financial institutions, insurers, asset managers and others, as well as sort of sovereign and sub-sovereign issuers. I think it's also worth pointing out that there's a wide breadth of different industries. The most active sectors in sustainable finance to date have been probably the utility sectors, financials, as well as consumer products. I think another sort of important consideration, particularly over the last few years, has been concern by market participants to avoid accusations of greenwashing, which is the practice by which sustainability credentials are overemphasized. So those have really been sort of the main ways in which the market has developed to date.
Okay, let's turn then to the benefits and drawbacks of sustainable finance. Can you walk us through those, Sam?
Yeah, sure, Craig. As far as advantages and disadvantages or risks, if you're a company looking to get involved in this sector or you're an investor evaluating how you can get involved, on the positive side, the goal is obviously to achieve positive environmental and social outcomes. And you can, by doing that, also gain reputational advantages with your shareholders and your other stakeholders, including employees, customers, clients, local communities that you're working with, local governments. So you can achieve a deeper engagement with that. You also could attract new investors because obviously more and ever increasing number of investors are very focused on this and will seek to only invest in sustainable finance products. The most common question that we hear is, well, do you get a pricing advantage? And the answer is, it's unclear. It still hasn't been kind of definitively shown in any really statistically significant way that you get a clear pricing advantage. That being said, there's some anecdotal and some evidence that there's modest pricing advantages. And with new products like sustainability-linked margins on loans or bonds, there is a tangible commercial consequence, good and bad, based on how well you meet your sustainability goals that are linked to the margin. So, you know, looking at risks and disadvantages, the thing that we talk about with clients the most is just reputational risk. Most of our clients are very concerned about that. And people are very concerned about being called greenwashing or committing to do something that they may not have a legal or contractual obligation to do, but they have stated that they intend to do it. For example, use the proceeds of their bond for green projects. Obviously, there's also compliance burdens that could come with your commitments to green or social investments and ongoing reporting requirements, as well as there's some modest administrative fees associated with hiring a second opinion verifier who will typically verify that you're compliant with relevant principles that you want, like the green bond principles, if it's a green bond issuance.
Although none of those disadvantages are particularly surprising, if you want to go out and you want to raise sustainable finance, then the corollary of that is that you need to act in a way which is generally consistent with green bond principles or environmental good stewardship generally. So obviously, on a pricing side, whilst there may not be at the moment a discernible and immediate advantage, you would expect that, particularly as growing interest in these types of products and the investor base expands, then that's going to drive greater demand for the product. And ultimately, as this market becomes more mature, you would expect there to be a pricing advantage given the greater number of people looking to invest in the market.
That's right. That's right, Greg.
Okay, well, what about some recent market initiatives? Ziad, let's start with you.
Sure, yeah. So despite the largely voluntary nature of sustainable finance to date, there is a slowly developing move towards a regulatory framework governing sustainable finance. And that's been sort of particularly true in the EU, but also in other jurisdictions. The EU's been the most notable example of the first sort of comprehensive regulatory package. In March of last year, the European Commission proposed a broad package and different types of regulatory initiatives to support the EU's climate and sustainable development agenda. And this has sort of been known as the EU's Action Plan on Sustainable Finance and contains 10 different action points, which really apply to sort of a very wide range of different market participants, from investment managers to rating agencies, financial advisors, regulators. And this action plan includes things like kind of fostering investment in sustainable projects, creating standards and labels for green products, as well as improving corporate disclosure of sustainability-related corporate information. As part of this action plan, there's sort of three main pillars. The first is a regulation amending the European benchmark regulation, which would introduce new categories of regulated benchmarks to help investors compare the carbon footprint of their investments. The second is a regulation on disclosure requirements, which would require a wide range of different regulated entities to disclose how they integrate environmental, social, and governance factors into their investment decision-making and advisory processes, as well as make specific disclosures for certain environmental, social, governance products. The final sort of legislative initiative is a sort of an environmental, social, and governance taxonomy regulation, which would create a framework to assess whether a particular economic activity can be considered sort of environmentally sustainable and will require application of and disclosure against criteria for sustainable investments. These various different proposals have progressed at different speeds. There's been political agreement announced on various different initiatives, but obviously because of delays as a result of the European elections, the timing of final implementation remains unclear.
Okay, thanks. And Sam, what about on the private market side? Any initiatives there that you want to mention?
Sure. I think the most obvious ones are on the loan principles, the new loan principles that have come out starting last year with the green loan principles that were published by effectively the three main industry associations globally in Asia, in Europe, and in the US. And that was followed by the sustainability-linked loan principles earlier this year by those same institutions. And the green loan principles really track closely the green bond principles. They're very much aligned. Sustainability-linked loans are loans which have a margin which increases or decreases, usually a modest amount, based on the company's performance on a number of sustainability indicators, for example, greenhouse gas emissions or workplace safety track record, for example. The other one that was very recent was the so-called Poseidon principles. They all have fun names. These are in the shipping loan market. So a group of banks that are very active in shipping loans came together to form the Poseidon principles, and it requires the borrowers of shipping loans to provide information to these lenders on greenhouse gas emissions of the vessels that are securing these loans.
It's interesting to hear all these names, like the green loan principles, the Poseidon principles, all of which really following on from the Equator principles, which were established quite a long time ago, dealing with environmental compliance generally for the banking market. In any event, if I am in a company and I'm thinking about sustainable finance, what should I be focusing on, Sam? What questions should I be asking myself?
Yeah, the number of options have just exploded in the last couple of years, which is a great thing for investors and for companies. But you need to consider what product and kind of what area of the market is right for you, both as an investor, if you're an investor, or as a company. I think ultimately you need to think about what your business is, if your company, and how you think it's green or could be greener, how you think it could be more sustainable, or what you're doing already, and how to best market that and wrap that into a finance product. As an investor, you really need to be careful about what the issuer or the borrower is calling green or sustainable, and does it align with your goals as an investor? And, you know, drill down into the disclosure to see what they're calling green project or social project. You know, as you just said, Craig, the other thing is that there's a lot of standards out there now, and you need to consider which standards you want to try to achieve. That will vary depending on whether you're seeking access to a listing on a certain stock market, regulated exchange, or inclusion in various indices that are out there now that have their own criteria. I mean, the bare minimum is generally the green bond principles, or if you're in the loan world, green loan principles, and these other principles, which are really baseline principles. And there are ways that you can exceed that benchmark or achieve a gold standard, which a lot of our clients are interested in, actually not just meeting the minimum, but getting out in front and being seen as a market leader. I mean, the other thing to consider is transparency and reporting. It's a big focus of the new guidance that's coming out of the Green Bond Principles and other organizations, where they're very focused on what reporting commitments are being made, how frequently, and how much granular detail will you give your investors on what investments and projects you're using the proceeds of their money for.
Well, thank you both for giving us an introduction to sustainable finance. Sam, if there's anyone out there wants to read more, where can they look?
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, given all of the recent developments, S&C has been very active in publishing papers, which are all available on our website. When the green bond market was getting going and we were doing a number of issuances, some of the first ones, we published an article on green bonds and the legal considerations that go into that. We also have an article published in last December, on recent developments in sustainable finance. And given all of the activity, we decided to go ahead and put out another memo just a couple of weeks ago, and all of those are on our website.
Thanks, Sam. So anybody interested in those articles can log on to www.sulcrom.com and find S&C's latest output in this area.